The Italian Wine Podcast is the community-driven platform for Italian wine geeks around the world. Support the show by donating at italianwinepodcast.com. Donate 5 or more euros and we'll send you a copy of our latest book, My Italian Grape Geek Journal, absolutely free. To get your free copy of My Italian Grape Geek Journal, click support us at italianwinepodcast.com or wherever you get your pods. Grazie mille. Welcome to the Italian Grape Geek Podcast. Join us as we explore personal stories of travel and tasting with Italy's must-know grape varietals. Chart your own course with My Italian Grape Geek Journal, your personal tasting companion to accompany the series. Available now on Amazon. With thanks to Colangelo and Partners for their generous support with this project.
Ciao, fellow Italian wine people. My name is Peggy, and I'm happy to present the grape Ribolla Gialla, which is a very old variety from Friuli Venezia Giulia. Mentions of the grape in historical documents allude to its popularity and status as a quality wine. The first such mention was in a document dated as far back as 1296. Ribolla Gialla became an important wine in Venetian maritime history. The fame of Ribolla wines is similar to the way Malvasia wines became a massive brand for the Venetians. As we know, when Malvasia wines became hugely popular and profitable, a bunch of other varieties took on the name Malvasia to take advantage of the marketing cachet that it provided. And this is also the case with Ribolla Gialla. Ribolla wines became kind of a second brand for the Venetians. Apparently, Ribolla had enough cachet to spawn some spin-offs. One was Ribolla Verda, which is almost extinct now. Then there is Ribolla Nera, which we know as Ghiopatino, Ribolla Rimanesi, which is Pignoletto, and Ribolla Spazzate, Prosecco Lingo. Ribolla Gialla can be found in the Collio and Colli Orientale del Friuli DOCs. These are perfect areas for Ribolla Gialla because the poorly fertile soils, altitude, and hillside sites curb vine productivity here. The two Grand Crus for Ribolla Gialla are Oslavia, with higher altitude and cooler nights leading to lemony mineral wines with a bit higher acid, and the other is Rosazzo, with its warmer mesoclimate that leads to wines that are richer and deeper, relatively speaking, that is. Wines are made in a vast array of styles, including protective vinification and maturation, oak maturation, sparkling wines in both Metodo Classico and Martinotti methods, some sweet examples, and of course, extended skin contact styles. Classic wines are dry, fresh, and light-bodied, usually pale in color, with delicate floral aromas, lemon, tangerine, white pepper, and a mineral characteristic. With this wine style, I would definitely go for fritto misto, or maybe some shellfish in a garlic butter and white wine sauce. One of my favorite food and wine pairings is grilled salmon and grilled veggies like radicchio, eggplant, mushrooms, and peppers with a bottle of Ribolla Gialla that has undergone extended skin contact. These foods are typically difficult to pair with wine, and I remember having an aha moment when I realized that the savory elements in the food, like the char and bitter flavors, match up to the savory characteristics in the wine. So the way I visualize this pairing is that the savory in the food meets the savory in the wine, which then allows the whisper of fruit to be pulled into the foreground. And it is glorious. I mean, how can you not love a wine that sings with grilled radicchio? For a more traditional food pairing, I would try trota affumicata, or Aivar sauce, made with charred red peppers, roasted eggplant, garlic, vinegar, and oil served alongside sausages or salumi. Some benchmark producers that I've come across in my home market are Gravner, Radican, Yarmann, and Livon. Other benchmark producers include Doro Princicia, Primo Sic, La Tunella, and La Vigna di Zama. Enjoy. Cin cin.
Are you enjoying this podcast? Don't forget to visit our YouTube channel, Mama Jumbo Shrimp, for fascinating videos covering Stevie Kim and her travels across Italy and beyond, meeting winemakers, eating local food, and taking in the scenery. Now back to the show.
Ciao, fellow Italian wine people. My name is Peggy, and today I'm happy to present the grape Primitivo. Well, actually, I'm a little bit trepidatious because it's going to involve pronouncing challenging Croatian grape names, but I'll go for it in the interest of furthering the cause of Italian grapes. The history of the name Primitivo goes back to the Latin word primitivus, which means first to ripen. The origin of the grape has a pretty interesting history. Let's begin with the first written record of Primitivo in Puglia. In 1700, a priest from Gioia di Colle made a note about a peculiar early ripening vine that he noticed. Prior to that, the grape may have been known as Zagaresi, allegedly named after the city of Zagreb in Croatia. The priest then planted more of it in Gioia di Colle, which is officially the first area for Primitivo in Puglia. It was later spread to other areas in Puglia, most notably in Manduria. The origin of Primitivo was unknown at the time and was the source of much debate. And this debate was also raging over in the United States, where the question of Zinfandel's origin had many theories posited through the decades. Some folks asserted that Zinfandel had arrived from Hungary. Others said Austria, and still others argued that it was indigenous to the U.S., despite it being a Vitis vinifera species and not one of the Native American species of vine. But in the late 1960s, some people noticed that Zinfandel looked quite similar to Primitivo, and the wines tasted similar too. Molecular evidence was found in the 1970s that linked the two grapes, which was later confirmed by Carol Meredith and her doctoral candidate, John Bowers, at UC Davis. After the link between Zinfandel and Primitivo was confirmed, the next step was to see if the origin of Primitivo could be found in Croatia, given that this was long suspected by its early synonym, Zagaresi. Finally, after much searching, a DNA match for Primitivo was found in Croatia in a grape named, okay, here goes, Srljana Kaštelanski. Researchers also found that a grape named Tribidjeg was identical, and since the name Tribidjeg had been in use for much longer than Srljana Kaštelanski, the name Tribidjeg takes the precedence as the prime name used for this grape, thankfully. Interestingly, the etymology of Tribidjeg is rooted in the Greek phrase that means early ripening. Tribidjeg was later found to be genetically identical to Kratoša in Montenegro, a grape considered to be the oldest indigenous grape of Montenegro. However, there are mentions of Tribidjeg in Croatia that predate mentions of it in Montenegro, which means Croatia nudges out its neighbor, Montenegro, as the grape's place of origin. So heading across the Adriatic and back to Italy again, Primitivo plantings have fluctuated throughout history. In the early 1900s, plantings of Primitivo exploded when vineyards in Northern Europe became ravaged by phylloxera, and it continued its path of bulk wine production for decades. Primitivo then suffered greatly as a result of the EU vine pull program. Sadly, Primitivo saw the loss of many centenarian vines in the 1980s. Thankfully, though, since the 1990s, Primitivo has been on an upwards trend of quality production. Of the two main appellations for quality production, wines from Gioia di Colle can be characterized with slightly higher levels of acidity and finesse due to its hills and higher altitude. Manduria can offer wines with even fuller body and richness of fruit with its lower altitude and slightly more fertile soils. Although Primitivo can suffer from asynchronous maturation, it can easily reach high sugar levels and thus high levels of alcohol. Another marker for Primitivo is its medium range acidity. Wines can be rich and ripe with fruits like strawberry jam and liquor-soaked plums, with underbrush notes, tobacco, and sometimes tar. But a range of styles can also be found, such as easy-drinking table wine, rosato, and sweet wines. The benchmark producer, Fadaloni, is most accessible in my home market, while Masseria Surani Dionysus from Tomasi is a popular choice for guests in the restaurant who like very full-bodied wine. I can also find Paolo Leo and Leone di Castris, where I live. Other benchmark producers include Canito, Morella, Polvanera, Tenuta Chiaromonte, Masca del Taco, and Cantina Due Palme. When it comes to food, I love pairing primitivo with rich foods that have dark soy sauce or a hoisin component such as Korean barbecued beef short ribs. A vegetarian lentil dal with raisin chutney would also be delicious with it. For a local dish, richly flavored spaghetti alla sassina would be delicious with a glass of primitivo. Chin chin.
Listen to the Italian Wine Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya FM, and more. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show. If you enjoy listening, please consider donating through italianwinepodcast.com. Any amount helps cover equipment, production, and publication costs. Until next time, cin cin.